Amen. Everybody else, take your Bible and turn to Revelation 6. Revelation 6. That song still ringing in my ears. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. Amen. Brother Squeaky gave me this a while back. I don't know if I read it. It says church attendance down during COVID. The COVID-19 is basically devastated or decimated churches across the land. There's a lot of churches shut down because of COVID-19, and they haven't reopened and maybe never reopened. And a lot of churches are down because of people are, you know, got serious health issues, and they can't come out, and they're scared to death over this health issue, and there's people that died. There was a fellow that, Noah's not here today, but Noah works at the Pinnacle, and there's a place down there in, down south, at Dagsboro, where he works, and there was a fellow there, and they brought the guy in. The guy weighed 800 pounds. And he was telling me about it, and I said, man, what's his name? His name's Jason. So Noah was telling me about him, and I said, Noah, we stand up here. I said, give him this track. And it took him a lot to get the guy into the place and all. And Noah, I don't know if you, Wednesday night, Noah said his brother passed away. And I went, what? And then I realized after talking to him again after church that fella, 800-pound fella, passed away. He was only 30-some years old. And Noah gave him a track, and the guy started reading the track. So Noah goes in and prays with him, and the guy trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. And then I gave Noah a Bible, or going to give him a Bible, but Noah went in and gave him his own Bible. He said, here, take my Bible. Noah got saved last year. Last year here, Noah got saved. And Noah gave him his own Bible, and I gave him a study book, and I said, give him the study book. Noah said every time he walked by the room, the guy was in there reading, studying. So Noah said he went to work Monday. He forgot to go by the room and see him. He said he was so busy doing stuff, and he went by Tuesday, and he said he wasn't in his bed. And he said, ask somebody, where did it happen to him? They said, you didn't know? He died on Saturday. The guy got in. He got in. But I don't know what he died from, but I know he asked the Lord to save him. Amen. Squeaky gave me this down. It says, baby boomers, 40% stayed at the same church during the COVID-19. 26% stopped attending church. 17% switched churches. Generation X, where'd you get this from, bro?
Law Association
sent this. 31% stayed, the X, Generation X, 31% stayed at the same church, 35% stopped attending, 17% switched churches. Millennials, 30% stayed at the same church, 50% stopped attending, 8% switched churches. So the COVID-19 really hit hard when it comes to churches and stuff. I mean, there's a lot of churches right now, they're shutting down because they don't have a pastor. I'm talking about even Bible-believing churches. They don't have a pastor or nothing like that. So you need to pray for these churches, for our brothers and sisters in Christ, and those that are out, that they get back into church. Some of them, they, you know, like I said, 50-50s, people that are halfway in, halfway out, they're out completely. And they don't even go to church anymore. They don't, and you can see it when you start talking to people, their morals start changing. And I was the other night, I coming down through the TV, I was looking for, I always watch Cowboys, and when I fall asleep, I don't even watch the news hardly anymore. But I was looking for a Cowboys, and it just popped on this Comedy Central. And that was the most wickedest thing, I'm telling you what. Comedy Central, kids are watching that stuff. And they had this roast of Justin Bieber. And they had this roast, and it was the most filthiest thing I ever seen, heard. Now, I remember when it says roast, I thought about Dean Martin, you know, and that was pretty wicked. But, man, nowhere near of what's going on right now. Man, I'm talking about there was Martha Stewart sitting there. And they said some wicked, and Martha Stewart used to be the wholesome woman on TV that, you know, would show you how to cook, how to get your house decorated. She was just a wholesome woman, and they were saying filthy stuff to her. I finally said, I can't watch this mess. This is wicked. And they were just, it was just a wicked thing, man. And I'm thinking, just how far we've come. And wickedness seems like the thing of today, like everybody's, it's all right. It's all right. Back in the 50s, I was born 56. Back in the 50s, everybody said, well, I wish we could live back in the 50s. The biggest thing that happened in the 50s in the school was chewing gum left on the seats. Or somebody pulled somebody's hair. Or somebody did something, you know, broke something in the bathroom. Now, today, the kids are getting shot, and they're getting their girls being raped in school, all kinds of crazy stuff going on. Why? Because Jesus said it was going to get worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. A perilous time is going to come. And look in Revelation 6, it says, and I saw the Lamb open one of the seals. And this chapter of chapter 6 of Revelation, you'll find you go through the tribulation one time, it's 7 years. 7 years is the tribulation period, which called time of Jacob's trouble. And it's 7 years. And you go through this one chapter, chapter 6, you're going through 7 years on trouble on this earth. And the seals, like Mike was teaching this morning, that God sealed his children. When you got saved, you were sealed with by the Holy Spirit of promise. You were sealed. Thank God you're sealed. Why? Because if you could, you'd lose your salvation. If you could. But you can't lose your salvation. Once you're saved, you're saved. And the Lord sealed you. Because, man, just the thoughts that go through our heads, I mean, sometimes, the things that we say or things that we do, I mean, if you could lose it, brother, you would have lost it a long time ago. And there's, you know, and there's millions of people on this planet right now believe that they lost their salvation. I grew up with a guy, run around with a guy that he believed he lost his salvation and never got it back. And that's what the charismatics taught. They taught, once you, you know, you get saved and you go back, you can lose it and never get it back again. But that's not true. When you're saved no matter what. You're sealed to the day of redemption. Who seals you? God seals you. And you're sealed. But here in Revelation it says, and I saw the Lamb open one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, and one of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw and behold a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow. And a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. A lot of the churches today teach that's Jesus Christ. He's got a bow in his hand, and he's riding a white horse, and he's got a crown on his head. They say that's Jesus Christ. No, that's the Antichrist showing up, and that's showing you that he never fires a shot. He never fires a shot. The whole world is like the pandemic. They all yield to him. The whole world will yield to him. They'll yield to him. Why? Because something's going to happen in Revelation 4. The rapture takes place, and the Lord takes his church out of here, and the world goes into chaos for a little while. And then this guy, this man of sin, the Bible calls him, he steps up and says, I know what happened, I'm, and he's a genius. And all the world starts trusting him like Tony Fauci. They start trusting in him, and they believe he's got all the answers. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard this second beast say, come and see. And there went out another horse that was red. And power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. Now, we see that every day, man. On the news, they're showing you about, you know, people dying and killing and all this stuff going on. And you get to where you don't even want to look at that stuff no more. You think, man, all these people are killing. What's going on? I've had people ask me, what in the world's going on? I said, man, hell's starting to enlarge itself. That's what's happening. Hell's enlarging itself on this planet. We got people, man, that's just living like hell and acting like hell and just thinking everything evil is good and good is evil. And that's what you figure. You said, what in the world's going on in Washington? Why are they pushing this stuff? It's all about power. It's all about trying to get more control. And it's, man, it's just pushing evil after evil after evil. They're saying that a baby is not even a baby. You can cut his throat as he comes out of the womb. Just kill the child. And that's abortion. That's not abortion. That's murder, man. That is murder. They're calling evil good and good evil. And just think about that little baby she just had. And as it brought that little baby just halfway out of the womb and just slit his throat. When that's evil. That's very evil. When he had to open the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see. And behold, a little black horse. And he sat on him, had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny and three measures of barley for a penny. See thou hurt not the oil and the wine. The industries that the government allowed to stay open was gas stations, which we you want fuel, and liquor stores. Yep. And they let that stay open, liquor stores, so you can get your drink. And hurt not the oil and the wine. And there's a imbalance in this world. And the imbalance, and I read a letter the other day where Wednesday night the Prime Minister of Canada said, the problem with our country is these Christians. Why? Because Christians rebel against whatever the government's pushing down their people's throats, saying this is the thing you need to do. Christians are more conservative. Anybody that's conservative is not Christian, but what they're doing, they push that stuff down your throat, trying to make you abide by their rule, So it's going to come again. I'm telling you, it's coming. It's going to come again. You say, what are you preaching this for? I'm saying, don't stick your head in the sand. Don't be, say, okay, I'm just going to yield to whatever they tell me. I just heard there was one company just now said, if you don't take the vaccine, 6,000 people, if it works for the company, if they don't take the vaccine, they're going to lose their job. There's going to be a push to try to get more control of your mind, your life, your children, everything. The government wants to control the kids. They want to teach them all the sex education, perversion. They show all that stuff. I remember, folks, I remember as a kid, I was wicked. I mean, I was taught wickedly, and I was taught and raised up wickedly. But and some of y'all have been the same thing. You were taught wickedly. But I'm telling you, folks, the stuff that's going to be pushed right now is just so vile, so wicked. And then look at verse 7. When he had opened the fourth seal, I heard a voice in the fourth beast say, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And they made a movie about it, Clint Eastwood. His name that sat on it was Death, and Hell followed with him. And power was given unto him over the fourth part of the earth to kill with a sword, with hunger, with death, and with the beast of the earth. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God, for the testimony which they held. You're going into the tribulation period. And when they heard that, they cried with a loud voice, how long, O Lord, holy and true, do thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? White robes were given unto them, every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were. The Lord doesn't deliver them. He said, they're going to be killed just like you were. And he says, and should be fulfilled. This is in the tribulation period. This is Jews going through it, and Christians going, are people that are seeking God, put it that way. Christians going to be gone. Behold, when he had opened the sixth seal, lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell on the earth, even as a fig cast her untimely figs, when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And heaven departed as a scroll, and it was rolled together. Every mountain, every island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, the rich men, and the chief captains, and mighty men, and every bondman, every freeman, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face. And we know that's near the end of the tribulation period. That sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? I was talking to a guy yesterday. He said, I would have never believed it. I would have never believed what's going on in this country and around the world right now. I would have never believed it 10 years ago. I would have said, no way. No way that could have happened. I said, well, it's happening now. But I want you to notice verse 8. And in verse 8, it says, I looked and behold a pale horse, and death and hell followed him, followed with him. And death and hell. I want to preach this morning on hell a little bit. I mean, folks, there's a lot of preachers don't believe in preaching on hell. A lot of them don't even believe in hell. They don't believe in hell. I've had people say, well, this is hell on earth. I said, no, man, if you're not saved, this is the only part of heaven you'll ever see. If this is hell, this is the only part of hell I'll ever see. And I'm saying, this is pretty good. God put man on this earth. Man sinned, and then this is what we have, but it's going to get wickeder and wickeder and wickeder. And the Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 3, it says perilous times shall come. We're living in that day. We're living in a day and age of perilous times. Take your Bible, look in 2 Peter chapter 2. You're going to look at some verses this morning. And 2 Peter chapter 2, Jesus Christ preached on hell. And I'll tell you what, he preached hard on hell. And why? Because there is a place called hell. And when somebody's mad at you and they want to tell you where to go, they'll tell you go to hell. And I've had people tell me, go to hell. And I said, look, I can't. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. I know I'm going to heaven. Why? Not because of my own merit, not because of my own goodness, but because I got my name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen. I'm going to heaven because I'm on his side. I've been saved and washed in the blood. Brother Mike was going through that this morning. I've been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. I'm on my way, man. I'm going to heaven. I'm no doubt. Nothing I can do to lose it. Nothing that can change that. My destiny is set. When you put a post stamp and they postmark that thing, you're set for that destiny. In America, they might lose your mail, but God never loses his children. Amen. He'll never lose his children. Look at the Bible says. And there in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, and there were false prophets also among the people. There's a lot of false prophets on TV, a lot of them. And it says, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who shall probably bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow the pernicious ways. That pernicious ways is a causing injury or destruction. And it says, many shall follow the pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. You know what they say when you believe the Bible? If you believe the King James Bible and you believe what our forefathers believe and what the Bible teaches, they say, oh, you're a cult. You're something else. They'll start saying all that stuff. When we had Brother Dave when he was coming to church here, back now he's been out in Michigan for over 20-some years. Brother Dave asked me one time, he said, can I stop at the Methodist church down there in Cheswold? Can I stop by there? They have an early service. Can I go in there? And I said, sure, man, help yourself. And he went by there. He went by there for a few weeks. And he said they were sitting in there having the early service. And he said they would ask questions. And he raised his hand and asked him a question. Why does the Bible say this? And they would sit there in that church and they would go, I don't know. I don't know. And finally, he started teaching. And he said, you mind if I show you? And he started showing them stuff. And finally, he got to the Catholic Church and started talking about the church sitting on seven mountains and all that stuff. He started talking all about that. And they finally stopped him. And they said, sir, be quiet. And he said, well, you asked me, and I'm showing you about the church is on seven hills, and it's the Catholic Church. He said, the Catholic Church is called the Bride of Satan, and it's called the Mother of Harlots. And he's going through that whole thing, Revelation 17, 18. Finally, they took him outside. They said, look, please, get out, get out. And they went out. He said, what is the matter? This is a Methodist church. They said, no, you don't realize we are Catholic. We are Catholic. And what happens is when you believe the Bible and you preach the Bible, they start saying you're a cult. Why? To try to get people away from the truth. Why? The Bible, y'all have heard about the one world government, the one world religion that's going to come together. And the one world religion, and what happens is real Bible-believing Christians are holding that up because we still believe the Bible. The next thing they want to do is get rid of the Bible. That's what Adolf Hitler did. That's what every dictator did. They get rid of the Bible. They burn the Word of God and take it out of your hands. And you can't separate man when it comes to the Word of God in a Christian's life, because the Word of God is what keeps us and helps us and helps us to grow, helps us to have our faith. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Thank God for the Word of God. Amen. I thank God for it. And thank God. And there's men that don't believe it, like what we just read. For there shall false prophets also among people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who shall probably bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And then down verse 3, and through covetousness shall they with framed words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For God, if God spare not the angels that sin, but cast them down to hell, and deliver them into chains of darkness, notice that, chains of darkness to be reserved on the judgment, spare not the old world, but save Noah and the eighth person, preacher of righteousness, and bringing in the flood upon the world of ungodliness, and turning the city of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemning them with an overthrow, making them examples unto those that afterwards should live God ungodly, and the reserve, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly. Notice what they were singing. Jesus cares for us. It says the godly out of temptation to reserve of the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh is in the lust of the uncleanness and despise governments. That's what we see going on, despising government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusations against them before the Lord. But these, as natural brute beasts, may be taken and destroyed, speak evil of things that they understand not, and they shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are, and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceiving while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery, and that they cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls as heart and heart that they exercise in covetous practices, cursed children. Man, isn't that something? I mean, you read through there and you go, wow, that just sounds like today and what's going on around the world today. It's stuff is going on. I mean, man, this world is on this way. This world is like a locomotive right now in the fast lane, going as fast as they can, heading for destruction. That's what the world is. But we are saved. We know where we're going, man. We know the Lord's coming back. We know we believe in heaven. We believe in hell. Hell is a place of separation. It's a place of darkness. It's a place of a gnashing of teeth. It's a place that you can't imagine. I used to say, I'm going to go to hell. I'm going to take over. I'm going to do all this crazy stuff. I was a child of hell. I've seen a lot of hell. I've seen a lot of things going on this planet and seen a lot of things in my own life, other people's lives. I've seen a lot and did a lot of stuff like that. And I was a part of the child in the world system, the child of hell. That's what I was. But when I got saved, man, that was a big difference in my life. It changed my life. I got my eyes open to things. I started seeing things the way they are. My brother, when he came back from Vietnam, he was court-martialed for butchering people and all that stuff. He sat down and made me sit there at 13, 14 years old and on the wall as he showed his slides of people that he mutilated and killed and all that stuff. I'm sitting there looking at it going, my God, my brother did this. He butchered people. He cut them in half. He cut them in parts, and I'm watching this stuff. That's why I say my brother's been in prison since 1975. I pray he never gets out. I love him. I don't want to ever see him get out. He got saved. That's good enough for me, man. I know they're going to take him out of there one day in a body bag. But I know my brother's saved, thank the Lord. But I'll tell you what, when you think about hell, it's a place that you don't want to go. If you're sitting here today, you're not saved, you don't want to go to hell, man. I'm telling you what, when Jesus described hell, he described it as a bad place, a wicked place. And the Bible says if a man goes to hell, he's an intruder there. Because the Bible says hell was not made for man. God, you said, why did God make hell? You got a positive, you got a negative. Heaven is a positive, hell is a negative. God said, you make a choice. While you're on this planet and whatever years you have, you make a choice. You could either come to God. Jesus Christ paid your sin debt. He paid all your sin. Man, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God already provided everything so you don't have to die and go to hell. I remember I used to say, I'm going to go to hell and I'm proud of it. And you see people right now saying the same thing and even more saying, I'm proud of going to hell. And the Bible, take your Bible, look in Matthew chapter 25. Hell was not made for man. Hell was made for the devil and his angels. And man goes there, man chooses to go there. I've had people tell me, he said, why does God send people to hell? I said, God doesn't send nobody to hell. Man chooses. He has a choice here and now. Because the Bible says now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. A man can get saved and miss hell. I mean, man, I got saved. I got my name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Thank God I got my eyes open. It took the death of my brother. It took the death of my brother. He used to witness to me and tell me about Jesus Christ. I stabbed him twice. I shot him with a pellet gun up in his, trying to put his, sunk it in his head as a kid. I mean, anytime I could, I wanted to hurt him. I wanted to try to kill him. And man, my brother used to tell me about Jesus Christ. I didn't want to hear nothing about it. I didn't want to hear nothing about God. And man, I used to tell my brother, I'm going to hell, boy, and I'm going to take over and you're going to bow to me. I used to be a wicked kid. Wicked. Amen. I got saved. It changed my life. It took the death of my brother before I even looked up. Sometimes God has to get harsh with people. Why? Somebody was praying. Somebody was praying for me that I wouldn't die and go to hell. Somebody was praying for you so you wouldn't die and go to hell. Somebody prayed. God answered that prayer. Man, you ever thank God I'm not going to hell, man? I mean, I got saved. I just knew I wasn't going to go to hell no more. I didn't know I was going to go to heaven too. I didn't understand that. Now, man, read my Bible. I realize, man, the Lord said, I go to prepare a place for you. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it wasn't so, I wouldn't have told you. God's prepared a place for us. I mean, you're talking about an eternal family reunion, brother. Eternal family reunion up in heaven. Matthew 25, verse 41, it says, then shall he say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. If you're here this morning, I'm going to tell you something. You die and go to hell. I've had people tell me, so I got baptized. I said, they ain't going to save you. I joined the church. They ain't going to save you. I'm just like our sister the other night, last night, asked Jesus Christ to forgive her and save her. And boy, the night I got saved, I couldn't read or write. I didn't know nothing, man. I was just stupid. All I was gangs and drugs and dealing drugs and carrying a gun. I was so stupid, but I was understood that Jesus Christ died for me. And I accepted him. That night changed my life. I knew something happened inside me. You can't have somebody as big as God come in and save you and come inside you and you not feel something. I don't go by feelings, but I know something happened in my life. It changed me. I wanted to know him. I wanted to fellowship with him. Why? Because the devil was my father before I was saved. And I was a good follower of my father. And boy, I tell you what, when I got saved, I know God saved me. It changed my life. Boy, what a change. We sing that song, there's been a change in me. A change in me. I'm not the one I used to be. Old things are passed away since Christ has set me free. There's been a change in me. I'm telling you something, folks, a change happened in my life. The night I got saved, God saved me. I mean, man, I'm not going to hell now. I thank God for that. And the Bible says hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. And I mean, if a person goes to hell, they go as an intruder. I don't know if anybody, I tell people, I don't know if anybody in their right mind that wants to go to hell. Most people that say they're going to go to hell and all that stuff, they're not in their right mind. They're just not in their right mind. You know, in the movies, they always show you everybody going to heaven. They don't talk about hell. They show you a guy dying. They don't say, hey, man, why don't you ask Jesus Christ to save you? The thief on the cross said, Lord, remember me when thou come to thy kingdom. He's hanging on the cross dying for his thievery. And he said, Lord, remember me when thou come to thy kingdom. Jesus said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Only Jesus Christ is the only one that can save you. Religion can't do it. Baptism can't do it. I mean, folks, joining a church can't do it. But asking him, he's the only one worthy, only one that loved you enough to die for you. Hell is a place of torment. It's a place of where the devil and his angels are. Man, I thank God I'm not going there. Hell is prepared for the devil and his angels, not for man. Hell's dimensions, it tells you what the dimensions are. You know, the Bible says hell and destruction are never full. You know, I remember the Bible says in Isaiah, it says, hell overflows itself. And I've told our kids, and I remember teaching this, and hell overflows itself. I said, what do you think the most volcanoes are? They're overflowing. When you put water on a stove and you turn that thing up, it starts boiling out. And what happened? You said, where is hell? It's in the center of the earth. That's what the Bible says. It says it's in the center of the earth. And hell and destruction are never full. And what happens is there are more people dying going to hell. You see the volcanoes erupting. There's an island in Hawaii that's been overtaken by a volcano. You said, man, it's black. It's reddish black. And it's so hot. It burns. I think a fellow told me one time, he says sulfur burns at 5,000 degrees. That sulfur coming up out of the earth about 5,000 degrees. Man, I tell you, well, you burn your hand one time, and you won't want to burn it again. You'll suffer pain. Can you imagine a man dying and going to hell? Hell enlarging itself. And the Bible says it opened his mouth without measure. People dying and going to hell by the thousands, by thousands. Why? Some people, man, they've heard, but they reject it. They've heard it. I mean, here you are in America, and you were in America, and America was founded by the Pilgrim Fathers that came over here with a Bible in their hand. And they were running to escape from religious persecution. And here America became a great nation. Why? It wasn't because of our diversity. It was because of the Word of God. I mean, we have diversity, but it was because of the Word of God America became great. You know what they want to do with? They want to get rid of the Word of God. You get rid of the Word of God, you've just become a third, fourth, fifth ranked nation of the world. Hell, Jesus preached on. He preached on a place of punishment. Look at Matthew 25, verse 46. These shall go into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Amen. Thank God for that. You know, take your Bible, look in Luke 13. Just think about this. You know what? When a man dies and goes to hell, he becomes like his father. He becomes like his father. I mean, the Bible says, Jesus said to the Pharisees, that you're of your father the devil, and the lust of your father will you do. I mean, man becomes like a worm. He becomes like a worm. I'm looking for where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. I said Luke 13, but I'm overlooking my notes here. Maybe it's Matthew 13. What is it? Mark 9. There it is. Mark 9. Go to Mark 9. Where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Man, you think about hell. Hell is a place of torment. It's a place of darkness. It's a place, man, where the Bible talks about it's a place of never ending the bottom, never hitting the bottom. Man, you say, how in the world can that happen? I mean, I don't know, but I tell you what, I believe what the Word of God says. And hell is a place of torment, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Here it is, Mark 9, verse 44. Look at this, Mark 9, 44. You know, a man is born from a seed. That little baby that was born, Levi, he was born from a seed. And that little seed became, with her egg, the baby of the female, it became a human being, an embryo, put it that way, an embryo. And that embryo, it developed into a human being. And man, when you got saved, God put his seed inside you. And you know what? We sing this song, you know, about Jesus, more like thee, oh, to be more like thee. But when you got saved, you became his child. And the more you grow in the Word of God, the more you feed from the Word of God, that baby's going to grow up. That baby's got to eat every day. That baby's got to drink milk. It's got to eat, then it, you know, gets down to crushed vegetables and all that, and that baby starts growing. And the same way with the child of God, when you, sister, you just got saved, I mean, you drink from the Word of God, which is milk in there. And then you got vegetables, then you got meat, and those things that help you create that spiritual body, develop that spiritual body, that where you get stronger, and you start understanding things, you start trusting God more. You start saying, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not to thine own understanding, all thy ways acknowledge him. You start growing, you start saying, okay, God, I know you're real. When I first got saved, I didn't know much. I didn't know hardly anything, but I knew I could talk to God in prayer. And man, I remember asking God to help me. And then as I started reading the Word of God, I started understanding more. My eyes started illuminating. I started seeing things the way God sees it. So this book is written by the Lord, and he wants you to see things the way he sees it. And man, it's not being brainwashed by the world like the world says, oh, you Christians are brainwashed. No, man, I got heart washed. I got my heart washed. And then I got my eyes open to the truth. Thank God for the truth. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. But look in Mark chapter 9. Like I said, that baby becomes an embryo, and then it becomes a child. But look what Jesus said. If a man's not saved, he told the Pharisees, you're of the father, the devil, and the lust of your father will you do. Jesus looked at the religious crowd of his day, and he put his finger in their face and said, you're of the lust of your father, and the lust of your father will you do. You know what? They hated him for that. They hated him for preaching to them. They said, who are you think you are? We're not born of fornication. They accused Jesus Christ of being born of fornication. Maybe the rumors went around saying he was born, Mary messed around with a Roman soldier and all that kind of crap. And they were saying all that stuff. And man, they said that stuff and trying to deteriorate, to get away from the truth of what the Bible teaches. And what Jesus said, he said, you're of the lust of your father, you're of your father the devil, and the lust of your father will you do. He put it on them. And then he said this in Mark chapter 9. He says in verse 40, he says, for he that is not against us is on our part. But whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name. There's no other name. There's only one name. It's not Buddha, Muhammad, Confucius, no other name. It's not the Baptist, it's not the Methodist, it's not the Catholic, no other name. the name of Jesus Christ. When you got saved, when I got saved, it wasn't the Baptist church that saved me. I'm a Baptist preacher because they still believe in preaching the Word of God. Still believe in preaching, open up the Bible and preaching it. Some Baptists. But I'll tell you what, I got saved by Jesus Christ and him alone. It says, for whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because ye belong unto Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. But whosoever shall offend one of these little ones, talking about you, talking about his children, that believe in me, it is better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and he was cast into the sea. And they, if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. Kaylee sent me that verse when I cut my finger. She said, if thy hand offend thee, cut it off, my thumb. But that was funny. But it is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. You know what? We haven't even got to Luke 16. But Luke 16, the rich man and Lazarus, you read that story. The religious crowd tries to tell you, oh, that's just a parable. That's just a parable. No, it was Jesus Christ was preaching it. He said this. He said, and the rich man opened up his eyes in hell. He opened his eyes. That rich man could feel. He could taste. He could touch. Why? Because your soul is the same shape as your body. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. My soul is saved. This flesh here is not completely saved. So what do you mean by that? Man, this flesh still wants to do wrong. This flesh still wants to think wrong. This flesh is one day is going to be changed and be fashioned like on his glorious body. This flesh, I got to keep in subjection. The inner man, once I got saved, I started growing. I got stronger in the Lord and Word of God. The inner man inside me starts controlling the outer man. Starts telling the outer man, you're not going to go to the bars no more. You're not going to drink no more. You're not going to smoke no more. You're not going to do the things that you used to do. You're not going to do it no more. Why? Because the inner man is stronger than the outer man. The inner man. And what you got to do as a child of God is to get that inner man stronger. And how do you do that? By the Word of God. Growing in grace. Growing in the Word of God. And I'll tell you what. But Jesus talked about hell. If a man's saved, when the rapture takes place, we're going to be like him. We're going to be just like him. The more you read your Bible, the more you fellowship with God on earth, the more you start acting like him. The more you start thinking like him. The more you have compassion on people. The more you love people. The more the Bible gets in you, the more you start caring about people, about where they're going to go. I don't want my worst enemy to die and go to hell, do you? Well, after I got saved, I started witnessing everybody I could. But my life didn't back up what I was saying when I first got saved. For the first year of my life, I was up and down, back at the bar, drinking and carrying on. And the Holy Spirit of God was saying, get out of here. Get out of here. But look what Jesus said. He said in verse 44, he said, where the worm dieth not, is in the fire is not quenched. If a man dies and goes to hell, just like the seed that he was that went and met the egg in that mother's womb, that man becomes like a worm in hell. And then in the lake of fire. You know what Jesus said? He said the serpent showed up in Genesis chapter 3. And the serpent deceived Eve. And Jesus talked about the serpent being vile and deceptive. And what happens is, he said to the Pharisees, you're going to be of your father the devil, and the lust of your father will you do. What happens to a man that's not saved? He ends up in hell, and he takes the shape of his former father or his father. Where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. Man, after I got saved, I wanted to see my dad saved. I wanted to see my mama saved. I wanted to see my brother in prison saved. I wanted to see my sister saved. I wanted to see my friends saved. I had a gang that followed me. I went back to that gang after I got saved. I made them all get on their knees. And I made them all pray a prayer, but they didn't mean it. They just did what I told them. But I'll tell you what, you can't make people get saved. You can't make people trust Jesus Christ. They got to want to do it on their own. Jesus said, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. You think about your loved ones. Think about your family members. Having a face, hands, like a serpent. swimming around in the lake of fire, yelling, screaming, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Look at verse 45. If you're here today and you're not saved, God have mercy, man, you need to get saved. I mean, you say, preacher, is it that desperate? I mean, is that earnest? Yes, it is. It's that earnest. Because hell is a place you don't want to fool with. You know, the Bible tells us that the bottomless pit's going to open up in Revelation chapter 9. And there's going to be beasts coming up out of the bottomless pit. They're going to be part man, part animal, part bug, what have you. It's going to be a part of a little everything. And the bottomless pit open up, and it's going to come and bring judgment on this earth. You say, man, that's Revelation. Oh, yeah, that's not figurative, folks. That's real. It's real. Look at here, verse 46. He said, well, verse 45, he said, thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It's better for thee to enter in, inner halt into life than having 2 feet be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. It says, where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. Jesus says it 3 times. 3 times he says it. Why? It's set. Whenever the Bible says something 3 times, it's set. It's not changing. It's set. Where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. I mean, folks, if I tell people at funerals all the time, I preach at funerals, I say, look, if I thought baptism could save you, I'd buy me a fire truck, run over town, squirt everybody down in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. But baptism can't save you. You got to ask him to forgive you. You got to ask him to save you. And then you'd say, I remember praying, asking God to save me. But I remember saying, Lord, I want to know you. I want to know you. And the way you get to know God is by through his word. And I wanted to know God. I said, Lord, I can't read. Would you help me? I wanted to know God. You read the word of God. It strengthens the inner man. The inner man gets stronger and stronger and stronger. The outer man starts saying, man, let's party. Let's drink. Let's smoke the dope. Let's do the drugs. The inner man says, no, you're not. You're going to bring shame upon my body. We say, well, we mess up. Well, you get up. You mess up, you confess it. Look what the Bible says in verse 48. Jesus said it again, where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And everyone that shall be assaulted with fire, and every sacrifice shall be salted with salt. Salt is good, but if salt have lost its saltiness, talking about Christians, wherewith will it be seasoned? Have salt in yourself, and have peace one with another. Man, the Lord wants you to grow. He wants you to realize where you would have been if you didn't get saved. You'd have been in hell today. Thank God. I've had 5 guns put to my head. I've hit 5 telephone poles in my life. 5. 5 number of death. Preacher, why you get so excited and get weeping and crying about what God's done? You know why? I know where I was heading. I know what I deserved. I know what God delivered me from. The Bible says, as much is given, much is required. God requires much from me. Why? Because he saved me and brought me out of a horrible pit. That's my life verse, Psalms 40, verse 1 through 4. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me and heard my cry and brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my going. He had put a new song in my mouth, even praise on our God. Many shall see it and shall fear. Shall trust in the Lord. I owe everything to him. I didn't do anything on my own. It was him. All I had to do was be willing. I realized I was just a dead dog. Ate up with worms. Man, God came by and had mercy on me. The world don't like to hear people say, well, I'm no good. They don't like to. It's, oh, no, you don't need to say that. Oh, yeah, I do. I was wicked on my way to hell. I was no good. But God came by. Changed my life. I was heading for hell. Now I'm going to heaven. Not because I deserve it. Not because I'm a good person. But because I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. That's what changed my life. Where the worm died not, the fire is not quenched. Man, I'll tell you what. I don't want my worst enemy to die and go to hell. Hell has duration. You say, how long? It's forever. It's forever. You make that choice here and now. You make that choice. You know, you got 70 years, 80 years to make a choice. I'm glad I was 18 years old. I mean, 18 years old, I asked Jesus Christ to save me. Man, changed my life. My brother's been in prison since 1975. I talked to him like yesterday. I talked to him almost every week, more than a couple times a week. My brother's been in prison since 1975. And I wanted to be just like him growing up. He was my hero. He's 7 years older than me. He writing home telling about how he killed these people and did all that. I started doing stuff on the street. I started living wickedly on the street. I wanted to be just like him. When God saved me, it changed my life. Where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched, I'm glad. I'm glad I didn't stay following my brother. I'm glad. I'm glad the Lord came by and dealt with my heart and saved my soul. The night I got saved, I was running from the police. Y'all know my story. I was running from the police that night I got saved. I wasn't even looking for God. I didn't know who God was. But at my brother's grave, I went, God, if you're up there, you blankety blank, I want to know. You know what? The Lord heard that prayer, even though I cursed him. I'm not going to hell, folks. I'm going to heaven. When I read about hell, and I think, God, I thank you, Lord. We read about, at Christmas time, we read the story about Jesus Christ, and we read about how, you know, a son is given and over in Isaiah, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. We just thank God for his mercy. You know what God did? He brought peace in my life, brought peace in my wife's life. We got married at 19 years old. We started raising our children for the Lord. I'm going to tell you something, it works. It brought peace in our home, got peace in our lives. Boy, I tell you what, the peace of God that passes all understanding. What a great God we serve. You ever thank God that you're not going to hell? You think about how many of your relatives, why don't you pray for them? Pray that they don't go to hell. I pray for my family. I pray, God, for every one of my family. I pray for the Lord to save them. Don't let them die and go to hell. Then I went to see them. I've had family members kick me out of their house and said, get out of here. I don't want to hear what you got to say. But later on, they trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. Later on. My brother, my half-brother, I went to see him just before he died. I went to see him, and I walked in the room, and he looked up at me and goes, who are you? I said, I'm Alan. He goes, Alan Ryman, my half-brother. I said, yeah, I'm here to see you. I want to make sure you're going to go to heaven. He said, you come to see me? You come to see me? I said, I come to see you. I wanted to make sure he was going to heaven. I didn't like him. I didn't like him one bit. But I tell you, didn't want him to go to hell.
Amen.
When the Bible describes it, there's people you might not like. Tell them about Jesus Christ. Amen. But more than that, you live it in front of them.
Right.
Lord, thank you, God, for your goodness and mercy. Thank you, God, that you deliver us from hell. My Father, I pray, God, there'd be somebody here today that's not saved. I pray, God, don't let them have any rest. Don't let them go home without you, Lord.